من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيدنا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه تبارك وتعالى في الكتاب المجيد والفرقان الحميد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. صلوات الله. One of the aspects of jihad, as we were discussing, and then of course we came into the nights of wafat, and we showed instances of how Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salamu alayhi gave example of jihad bin nafs, jihad by offering one's own sacrifice in the ways of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we'll discuss briefly, of course, taking his life also into consideration, about that jihad which is called jihad bil ilm. First of all, every one of us, man and woman, has been enjoined upon by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek knowledge and to become alim. Now, to become alim does not mean to become maulvi, because ilm ad-deen is only one ilm. There are thousands of ulum in this world. An ignorant man or a jahil is one who knows nothing. But if somebody is somehow qualified in any particular faculty, he is an alim in that faculty. If he is an engineer, he is an alim, but in engineering. Is the physicist, he is an alim in physics. One is an accountant or whatever, he is an alim in accounts, and so on. But if a person is devoid of all the qualification and is just a plain paper, he is called jahil, total jahil, ignorant. Now, if he knows that he is jahil, then he is a better jahil. But if he does not know that he is jahil, then he is a dangerous jahil. Because if a man does not know that he does not know, because there are three types of jahil. There is one who does not know. There is one who knows that he does not know. But the first and the worst one are, he does not know that he does not know. In Farsi they say, un ke namidanat. Wa midanat ke namidanat. And the worst is namidanad ke namidanad. He does not know that he does not know. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're discussing the battle of Badr just two nights ago, when the prisoners were brought to Medina. Now, what to do with the prisoners? This is the first experience. Not allowed to kill them. They must be treated well. I mean, it is in history that one of the prisoners relates to his mother. He says that my captor, that the one who has put me captive, he said, people are assigned prisoners. You keep one, you keep. There was no prison there. People were assigned with two or three or four prisoners. He says, my captor, the person to whom I am assigned, he is a very poor man. When he sits to eat, he divides his one loaf into two. One he gives to me and one he eats himself. A letter written from a prisoner of Badr, Mushrik, writes to his mother that my captor is a Muslim and he looks after me like this. That one loaf he eats, divides into two, gives me one end. And when I feel that it is too much. I am a prisoner. I return it back to him. He doesn't take it. He says, no, if you will insist, I will give you my part also to eat. Now, how to get them? The Prophet was more concerned about getting them released. A prisoner of war is a prisoner of war. But then, to release them, the Prophet devised a beautiful method. He said, whoever teaches 10 persons how to read and write, he will be released. So the people of Medina were so inspired. They started learning from these Meccans how to read and write. When 10 were educated and they could do the basic reading and writing, the Prophet released. Hundreds of them were released through education. Medina benefited from education, and Meccans were released because of education. And when he entered the mosque, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, when he entered the mosque, he saw a group of people busy in educational affairs, reading, writing, Quran, tafsir and all that. And he saw a group of people busy with salat and dua and all that. And the Prophet just went and joined those who were busy in matters of education. And he said, both of them are doing well, but I have come so that Islam enlightens the people. Now this is the reason why. When you are an alim, then there is a hadith which is of course a very difficult one, which says that an alim who does not part with his ilm and does not give the benefit of his knowledge to the human society in general and to Muslims in particular, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tie his mouth with fire. Especially if he does not speak because of his knowledge where he ought to speak. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'. Namaz, Dua-i Asr is, Ya Allah, I seek refuge from you for that knowledge which benefits no one, neither myself nor others. This is the requirement for which Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is known. I mean, when the Prophet said, Ana Madinatul Ilm wa Aliyun Babuha, as far as the Prophet being city of knowledge, everybody would acknowledge. But Ali was not a favorite of everyone. And when the Prophet said, he is the gate of knowledge, not a single one stood up to say, that how can Ali be the gate of knowledge? We are all here. Everyone knew that nobody could exceed Ali ibn Abi Talib. They kept quiet, whether they liked it or they did not like it. There was no way out. The Arabs today, till today, 20th century, entering into 21st, should be thankful to Ali ibn Abi Talib for having shown them what is Arabic grammar. When Abul Aswad Du'ali came to Mawla and said, Ya Ali, I am a poet and a literary figure. My own daughter speaks Arabic wrongly and ungrammatically. Because of the influx of people from other nationalities, Arabic started getting all sorts of flaws and faults. Iranians would come in. They spoke different Arabic. They started learning Arabic. And when the children of Iranian origin and Arab would go in the bazaar to play together, there was always a difference of accent and also of metaphors, idioms used. So the Arabs started learning Irani from Iranians. The result was that there was grammatical mistake. For example, on that night when Abul Aswad Duwali could no more tolerate, the daughter had looked at the stars and said, "Fama ahsanun nujum." Now this, to say "ma ahsanun nujum," is a grave Arabic error. It has got to be "ma ahsanan nujum." Only difference of fatha and dhumma. But when Abul Aswad Duwali heard his own daughter say, "Ma ahsanun nujum," he said, "Wa waila, my own daughter." And he came to Mawla Ali and said, "Ya Ali, save the Arabic language." And Mawla said, "Pick up a paper and a pen, and I will give you the outline of Arabic grammar. It is, whatever he dictated then is found to be found even today. When we learn Arabic grammar, this is how it begins. Exactly, even till today." He said, "Ya Aba Aswad, uktub, write. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-Kalimatu ala thalathati aqsam." A word are of three kinds. Word is of three kinds. Al-Kalimatu ala thalathati aqsam. Al-Ismu wal-Fi'lu wal-Harf. Noun, verb, and harf. Harf is a preposition or whatever you call it, that which works together with noun and verb. In, on, under. It is harf. But either it is ism, noun, or it is fi'l, verb, or it is between the two, which is harf. It has no independent meaning unless it is either joined with the fi'l or with the ism. And he wrote it. And then Allah, Mawla said, "Now, do you need anything from me as far as ism is concerned?" You don't know. Ism, everybody. Names, everybody knows. Fi'al, everybody knows. What you need is the act of harf. Now write. And he started dictating. After dictating marfu'at and mansubat and things like that, he said, "Now go and complete it because you are a poet." He gave him the skeleton. He went home and started writing. And it is reported, we were learning grammar, we were taught this. This historical event, we were taught that Abul Aswad Duwali came back with nawasib like inna wa anna and all that. And he forgot one. Mawla looked at it and said, "What about lakinna?" He said, "Lakinna is also to be included." Ali said, "Yes, put lakinna also." That means all the Arabic grammatical things which I'm just mentioning for the sake of how deep Ali ibn Abi Talib went into formulation of Arabic grammar from which we are benefiting till today. The founder is Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Muawiyah, who liked to hear every story which went against Ali ibn Abi Talib, he liked. But when one man came and Muawiyah said, "Min ayn ji'ata?" "Where are you coming from?" He said, "I'm coming from the dumb man, the man who is dumb, who does not have even the power of eloquence." He said, "Who?" He said, "Ali ibn Abi Talib." Muawiyah said, "Don't tell me lies. The fountainhead of eloquence is Ali ibn Abi Talib. We learn from him. We copy him. And you are telling me that you come from a dumb man? The fountainhead." Even those who worked with Umayyads, they used to call Ali ibn Abi Talib Asla. Asla, if you want to know who is Asla, look at me. Or anybody, any elder who does not have hair here. He's called Asla. I mean, it's not Aib. But they used to call Ali ibn Abi Talib Asla rather than name him. Whenever they were having their own private, ordinary, extraordinary talk, they would say, "Faqal al-Asla." Asla means Ali ibn Abi Talib. See? They used to call him Asla, but we have on record They are saying that we have learned how to talk, how to speak, how to address the crowd after having memorized at least 400 khutbah of Asla' bin Ali ibn Abi Talib. If you read Nahj al-Balagha, sometimes it's so fascinating. Mawla writing to his governor how to write. How to write? Have you seen that khutbah, that letter, in which he is writing to his representative, teaching him how to write? What should be the size of the letters? You see, how should the letters be combined into words? How much space must be left within the lines? You see? And how legible you must be so that the reader does not misinterpret or misread your letter. He taught them poetry. They tested him. They said, Ya Ali, who is the best poet? Mawla kept quiet. He, Mawla, had this habit of inviting for iftar. For first 10 days he would be inviting. Last 10 days he would be going to his children. And they all said, Ya Ali, you are inviting us. You have kept food for us. You don't eat yourself. And Mawla would say, I'll eat later. I want to see my guests. After they have eaten, then they would sit down. I mean, they haven't come to a hotel. They have come to sit with Ali ibn Abi Talib, they would like to benefit from it. They would sit and have small talk. One day somebody said, who is the best poet of Arabia? And they thought Ali ibn Abi Talib will be dumb here, because poetry, everybody doesn't understand. To say wah-wah-wah-wah is something else. Most of the people say wah-wah-wah-wah without understanding a word of it. They just want to encourage the Shair. But if you ask him, what did he say? He'll say, go to Mullah, he'll explain to you. They don't know. To be able to understand the refinement in a poetry requires knowledge, my friend. It's not a joke. And it requires that much interest and enthusiasm in it. Because it is the finest form of literature, English, Urdu, whatever it may be. And they started. Somebody said Amr al-Qais. And somebody said Zubayd. And somebody said other names. And Mawla was busy just lifting the utensils, whatever. When he was free, they said, Ya Ali, did you hear us? Did you hear our discussion? Mawla said, yes, I heard somebody preferring one over the other. Now what is your preference? The answer Mawla gave is that you can't say one is better than the other, because every shair has tried his pen in a different field. Somebody talks about the war, somebody talks about peace, somebody talks about romance, somebody talks about nature. You can't compare between the two. And then Mawla started, one after the other, giving examples. And these people said, Ya Ali, you and poetry, he said, talk of any branch of knowledge, Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the benefit that we got from him, dua, is insha, shi'r, we have from him. And we have shi'r, which we have got diwan of Amir al-Mumineen, which has got ash'ar of Amir al-Mumineen. So many things he left as a founder. Why? Because ilm has got to have that benefit. Now coming to the critical part, which we will continue next time, because we will soon be approaching namaz time. One of the ilm that, apart from faculties, is the truth that we have. Masail al-Din, you know, aqaid you have, you are what? You are Shia Ithna'ashari, you are the follower of Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhi wa ajma'in. Now that knowledge you have, it is not your property. It is not your exclusive property. It has got to be transmitted. It is wajib. You cannot say this knowledge is now mine. If that would have been so, most of us would have still been Kanji Bhai and Devji Bhai. Yes? But someone somewhere in Iran or Arabia left his country to come over to India, and he there propagated and gave the benefit of his knowledge to others, and people became Muslims. And from that Islam, today we are what we are. Can you say no to this? We cannot. We are thankful to the first missionary. And of course, it is true, as they say, that do they become Muslims if we teach them, or they just become Muslims because they want to have some food, they are poor, they want clothes, they want benefits. I say both. They are poor, they want benefits. When my great-great-great-grandfather became a Muslim, I don't know, history of my own family, at that time, he must have been told, come to Jamaat and we will eat together. You see, he must have been told, if you don't have food, we'll provide you. If you don't have schooling for children, we will give you. You see? Now, it is true that man, for the sake of worldly gain, sometimes changes. But what happened to his progeny and his posterity? That it came up to this stage where now we are in such a state that if time comes, we are prepared to sacrifice our knowledge, our time, our money for the sake of religion. When I went to Ayatullah al-Hakim, rahmatullah alayh, in 1963 end and 64 beginning, and he said, and he was free, and that was remarkable because Agha Hakim was never free. That day, it so happened, the timing was such, people had not yet come. He said, come closer, you are alone. It was a big expanse of room. He said, come closer, let us have a talk. For me, it was a lucky day. And I went very close, and Agha said, now tell me about East Africa. A marja taking interest in, tell me about East Africa. And I told him. But he said, you don't mind if I ask you, well, you are not blacks. You call yourselves Africans. You are not blacks. You don't have flat noses and all that. You call yourselves Africans? I said, yes, we call ourselves Africans. But our forefathers migrated from Hind. See, about 175 years ago, they came to the coastal line of East Africa, some of them in Bagamoyo, Zanzibar, Lamu, and things like that. Oh, he said then, alhamdulillah, we have settled. So there are indigenous people? That was the question. There are indigenous people? That means there are sons of the soil who are truly Africans? I said, yes. It is populated by Africans. They are black, they are the sons of the soil, they are the indigenous people. Agha immediately asked, 175 years you have been there, your forefathers, how many of them have become Shia? I said, Agha, I gave him a very indirect answer. In Farsi I said, Agha, ma pul jam mi kuni ma mi khurim. That means we raise funds and eat ourselves. Couldn't tell you anything more. Ma pul jam mi kuni ma mi khurim. We raise funds ourselves and then we eat. Agha smiled. Smiled, and Agha was the one who spoke least. That means not much. There was no need. His one remark would be enough. And you know what he said? He said, Haif. Now, Haif of Ayatullah actually shook me, because Haif means afsos. And then, after a few minutes, he said, I don't ask you to convert them. Salawatullah. I don't ask you to convert them. That is not your job. I'm simply asking you to convey to them so that tomorrow they may not rise on the day of Qiyamah and say, Ya Allah, these people had the knowledge about truth. They came to our lands. We allowed them in as our guests. We allowed them to live there, to promulgate, to flourish, to prosper from our own lands. They lived with us side by side. They had the truth, and we were deprived. What answer will you give? There was no answer. They knew the truth of Ahlul Bayt. They never cared, perhaps because we were black. They considered us inferior. I said, Agha, there is no question of inferiority here, although I know it was, but what else do I say? I know that we were considering black inferior, but I could not tell Agha that we were considering black inferior. I said, Agha, that is not the question. He said, yes, it should not be a question, because Rasulullah made first muazzin out of Bilal ibn Rabah, who was black. As I started going to Haram, he said, listen to one thing and convey it to your people. For the sake of such mission work, Allahu Akbar, for the sake of transmission of this ilm that you have, knowledge, to the people among whom you live, I allow 100% of Sahm Imam Ali. 100%. He was allowing us 50% for other jobs. For this he allowed 100%. Tell them, you can weigh, don't convert. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. Hidayat comes from there. My friends, it is this ilm and this knowledge that we have become custodian of. It doesn't apply to Africa, it applies to England as well, to America as well. Well, we have got to see that it is transmitted. And the money of Imam or whatever charity is spent for such purposes is well spent, much more than anything else, be it a penny or two. That is the reason why on the night, that means this night, this is 22nd night, early in the morning when Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein had gone to bury Imam Ali alayhi salam, when they came back, there is a khutbah of Imam Ali, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, on the evening of 22nd. The first khutbah from the member of Kufa, Medina, Kufa. Imam Hassan stood up and said, O people, do you know who we have buried today? Do you know who has been buried today? Do you know of whom we are deprived and whose presence is no more? Wallahi, he has not left anything of his worldly possessions except two clothes, two shirts, and he has left two pairs of shoes, and believe me, he has left 700 dirham, which is also earmarked for releasing two slaves. That means I have got to release two slaves after him, and then that money is also not there. But wallahi, he is a man who was fountainhead of knowledge. And today, when Rasulullah died, Wahi was disrupted. Today, knowledge has been disrupted. This is what Mawla Imam Hasan al-Islam said. Apart from the widows and orphans of Kufa, who wept when Hasanain were coming back home after the burial, from one small lane, a voice was heard, a feeble voice. A man was crying. Who was crying, you don't know. But someone was crying, saying, "Oh, my benefactor, oh, one who used to come here every evening, sit next to me and say, miskinun jalisan miskina, a poor sitting next to poor. It is the third day I am going hungry. It is the third day I am going hungry, oh my benefactor. God forbid, are you ill? God forbid, have you been taken sick? If it is so, Ya Allah, I pray for his recovery." Because he not only came and sat, he broke the bits of the breads and sometimes fed me like a dear mother feeding her child. And he was weeping, and Hasanain were looking at him. He was blind. Imam Hasan sat next to him, and he said, "Brother, don't weep." He said, "I'm weeping for my benefactor. I haven't seen him for the third day. You also pray for him. You pray for him, for he used to come here and feed me." He said, "But what did he say?" He said, "He always said, miskinun. Jalisam miskina. Miskin is sitting to the next miskin." The moment he said, miskinun jalisam miskina, Imam Hasan said, "Then he is my father, Ali ibn Abi Talib, who we have just gone and buried." But the moment he heard about the burial, he said, "Did he die of his own?" When Imam Hasan related to him the whole story, he said, "Take me to his grave, for I don't think there is any meaning in life left after him." He came to the grave and he said, "Ya Mawla, Ya Ali, you never told me that you were Ali ibn Abi Talib. You talk to me as if you were a stranger. You are my benefactor. May Allah not give me a day to live after you." Allah la'anatu wa ala al-qawm. Wa sayya'alamu al-lazina wa lamu ayyamun qalabiyyam.